you, Pastor. Praise the Lord, everybody. Aren't you thankful to be in the house of the Lord? There's such a beautiful presence of the Lord in this place tonight. Amen. I'm so thankful to be in the presence of God, in the house of the Lord, with the people of God. Amen. Worshiping His name together. There's something special about being in the house of God. And I never want to take it for granted, but I do want to take advantage of it. I want everything God has for me. Amen. Everything that God wants to give me and speak to me, I want it. Amen. And I need it. What an honor to be here tonight. Thank you, Pastor, for allowing us to be here. Love and appreciate your pastor and his family very, very much. And so thankful. There's nothing like the church. Amen. Nothing like the body of Christ. And I'm so thankful for that. Amen. God's good. God been good to anybody in this house? Amen. He is great. He's greatly to be praised. Amen. Amen. I know I gave your media team some verses, but I just keep feeling a tug in my spirit right now. So if you'll bear with me just a moment, the book of Numbers, chapter number 9. Book of Numbers, chapter 9. I just keep feeling this in my spirit. Amen. Numbers chapter 9 and verse number 1. Amen. The Bible says, and the Lord spake. I'm going to bear with me just a moment. I got a few verses to read here. But the Lord spake unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the first month of the second year after they were come out of the land of Egypt, saying, let the children of Israel also keep the Passover at his appointed season. In the 14th day of this month at even, ye shall keep it in his appointed season, according to all the rites of it, according to all the ceremonies thereof, shall ye keep it. And Moses spake unto the children of Israel that they should keep the Passover. And the next verse, verse 5, said, and they kept the Passover on the 14th day, the first month, at even in the wilderness of Sinai, according to all that the Lord commanded Moses, so did the children of Israel. But there were certain men who were defiled by the dead body of a man, that they could not keep the Passover on that day. And they came before Moses and before Aaron on that day, and those men said unto him, we are defiled by the dead body of a man. Wherefore are we kept back, that we may not offer an offering of the Lord in his appointed season among the children of Israel? And the scripture says, and Moses said unto them, stand still, and I will hear what the Lord will command concerning you. I want to stop right there for just a moment. And for the next few moments, I want to preach with the help of the Lord about the legacy of a lost Passover. Amen. The legacy of a lost Passover. Can we lift our hands, our voices together right now? Lord, I'm so thankful for your presence. Thank you, Lord, for your power, your people, your glory that is in this building. The beautiful Spirit, God, that is moving in this place. Lord, I pray once again that the word of life, the word of God, your word, Lord, would bring power and deliverance and faith and restoration and healing. Do your work as only you can do in this building. Let your name be glorified. Let your kingdom be advanced, I pray, for the glory of God. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Before you're seated, would you once again give the Lord a hand clap of praise and thanksgiving? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen. God bless you. You can be seated for a few moments. Many, many years before the Lord walked upon the face of the earth, before the incarnation, before the cross, and long before the day in which John would sit in heavenly places upon the Isle of Patmos, mercy had always lingered in the presence of God, because God is merciful. Amen. Before there ever was a sin problem, I'm thankful there was a sin answer and a sin solution. The Bible speaks of a lamb that was slain from the very foundation of the world. The psalmist said it like this. He said, the mercy, his mercy endureth forever. Amen. That phrase was repeated some 41 times in the word of the Lord. And the book of Lamentations makes this statement, that it is of the Lord's mercies. I love this verse. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. They are new every morning. In fact, if I could say it, this way. I'm going to say it with utmost respect and honor and sacredness, but understand where I'm coming from. Mercy seems to be God's middle name. I know it's not literally, but it's mercy that infuses who God is and how his connection with you and I exists. Because mercy doesn't just throw a life preserver to a drowning person. Mercy pulls you up from the bottom of the sea. It takes you on the bank. It breathes into you and makes you come alive again. I'm thankful tonight for the mercy of God. Amen. The scripture text that we read a moment ago is really the end of a matter. And understand it, you got to understand the beginning of it. So I'm going to try to explain it very quickly yet precisely. We understand and recall and remember that Moses had killed an Egyptian. He was forced to flee the land of his nativity. And he is now living in a desert that he would call home for some 40 years. And he's descended from living in the fine courts of Pharaoh. And now he's living among the rocks and the aroma of the sheep. And the promise of a basket of bulrushes has miraculously preserved him. But now it's put him in the heat, this jail of this heated desert, if you will. But God was not through with the life of Moses, because from a burning bush, God began to speak to him. And he gave him a message and a mandate. I want you to go into the courts of Pharaoh and tell him, God said, let my people go. 9 times Pharaoh promised you can go. But within every promise there lurked this lie, and he would have a change of heart. So God began to send plagues upon the people of Egypt, from the palace to the peasant. Yet the Hebrews were spared. And it was in that final plague that the promise made by Pharaoh that they can leave was finally kept by Pharaoh. Because in that plague, wherein the firstborn of every house would die if the blood had not been applied to their home. So from inside of this final plague comes the story of the Passover. You see, God's people had lived in Goshen and they had been protected from all the previous plagues. But this one final plague would only be missed if the blood was applied to the doorway. The lamb had to be specific where it was applied, how it was applied. Amen. All of those things. But perhaps out of all the Old Testament things, there are none that point as loudly and so precisely as to Jesus as the Passover does, because it was important that we understand that the Jewish nationality is not going to save them this time. Merely being born in the house of Jewish people would not preserve them. Having the right name was not going to keep the judgment of God off of them. Their parents' faith could not save them. It was not a given they were going to be saved just because they were God's chosen people. Where they lived and how they lived and how they worship. None of these things guaranteed mercy. Mercy only came through the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Mercy only came through that sacrifice and the application of the blood. So it's in that desert that the people of Israel, amen, the people of God, they walk out of Egypt, amen, that God would establish the Passover. It was a feast of remembering what he had done, and most importantly, where he had brought them to. It was a backward glance and a forward glance. It was in preparation for that. They were told, remove all the leaven from your house. It was symbolic of sin, the effects of sin in the life of a man. And so with the Passover, God had established a way for them to remember the blood, to remember their deliverance, to remember what had been, and to reflect upon what was coming. Because in God, there's always what has been and what is, and most importantly, what he's got waiting on us tomorrow. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. That which is, I just feel compelled in the Holy Ghost to tell somebody, that which is in front of you is greater than anything that has happened behind you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so by the time we reach this text in Numbers chapter 9, one full year had elapsed since the inaugural implementation of the Passover. It was so important that to miss the Passover to a Jew was much like you and I missing Calvary, missing the celebration of what happened at the cross. To miss the Passover was to nearly commit an act of treason to the national Jew. To miss the Passover was to commit the violence of sin to the religious Jew. To miss it was to say our deliverance was really not important. To miss it was to say that God's work really didn't have much of effect. But light continues and things happen. But they were told, do not miss the blessing of the Passover and the sacrifice. And so as the Passover was near, so the cross would lie ahead. You see, the Passover was the prophecy, but Calvary was its fulfillment. Passover was the shadow, but Calvary was the light. Passover was the physical feast, but Calvary was the spiritual feast. Passover required the death of a flawless lamb. Calvary required the death of a sinless Savior. But on this anniversary of the Passover, something had happened. Life had happened. Most specifically, death had happened. Someone had passed away. And it was impossible for the burial of that body to be delayed. And so these men had touched this body in the act of burying it. Amen. They're away. They touched the body. They buried the body. And so it makes now the most important thing in their life the most impossible thing. Amen. Because there were perimeters around the Passover. You could not touch a dead body and participate in the Passover. But life had happened. People passed and they had to be buried. And the trouble was these men could not participate in the most important day of the year. They watched as the Passover was being celebrated. They were excluded from remembering. They remembered, but they could not touch. It's a place where they could see mercy being celebrated, but they could not touch it and mercy touched them. But I go back to my opening statement. God is a God of mercy. If you look at God with the eyes of a lawyer, the greatest sin, amen, the least sin makes you ineligible for mercy, amen. But if you look at God through the eyes of love and compassion, the greatest sinner may receive the greatest mercy. Those men missed the Passover. Amen. They said, what do we do, Moses? Are we going to be left out because we had to bury a friend, a loved one? And Moses said, this has never happened before. Let me go talk to God about this. And the Lord said, this is what you do. Amen. Because when Moses asked God, what do I do about these men that missed the Passover on the 14th day of the first month, God established the second Passover on a 14th day of the second month. The Jews call it Pesach Sheni. It marks a day when someone who is unable to participate in the Passover was given the opportunity to do it exactly 1 month later. Why? Why all this? To tell you that God is a God of second chances. I said he's a God of second chances. Hallelujah. You can't look at him without seeing that portrait, without seeing that he's a God that'll give you another opportunity. Hallelujah. It's a powerful thing that he's a God of a second chance. These men came with an impasse they could not iron out. How easy it would be for God to say, I'm sorry, you missed it. Your opportunity has passed. But that's not what God did. Just because a couple of men missed it, because they had to bury a loved one, God created a brand new holiday to destroy their dilemma. Amen. Just so they would not be left out. Amen. Of the blessing of the lamb and the covering of the blood. When these men could not get to the feast, God created a feast to destroy their dilemma, because God will go to great lengths, amen, to make a way where there is no way, because he is a high priest that can be touched with the feeling of our infirmity. I've come to tell somebody tonight, God is still in the business of mercy. He's still the God of a second chance tonight. Hallelujah, somewhere in the heavens I can hear, amen, the voice of God saying, I did it for them, I'll do it for you. I'm coming to tell somebody, you're sitting in a house of mercy right now. You're sitting in a house of second chances. You're sitting in a place where the mercy of God can be experienced. Somewhere in the dry wilderness, those men's bones have returned to dust. But their legacy lives on, that he's a God of a second chance. I thank God for his mercy tonight. because that which I missed, God made up. When I could not get to him, he came to me. Where I could not sit, he made me sit. When who I was made me far, the mercy of God brought me near. Amen. Amen. Those men had either touched a dead body and been away. Amen. But mercy's not the problem of distance. Mercy is the solution to distance. The Bible is straightforward about sin. It's straightforward about lost, being lost in the wages of sin. And sin, when it's finished, it brings death. But anybody in this room tonight who has repented of your sin and been baptized in Jesus' name and received the Holy Ghost, you can attest to the fact that he's a God of second chances. Amen. When I thought it was over, when I thought I could not be loved, when I thought I could not be forgiven, the mercy of God. If God did it for your brother or sister, he'll do it for you right now. Hallelujah. Somebody praise the Lord in this building tonight. Hallelujah. The patriarch Jacob, his name meant deceiver, and he lived up to it, but God gave him a second chance and changed his name to Israel. Jonah fled the commandment of God to preach at Nineveh, but God turned him around and gave him another chance. David deserted the land of his anointing, went to live among in the land of Gath, but mercy pulled him back and put him on the throne. Thomas doubted, I don't believe that it's him, but Jesus shows up a second time and said, put your finger in the print of the nails. Saul of Tarsus, amen, persecuted the church, but God got a hold of him on a road to Damascus, and Paul became the greatest missionary the church has ever known. Mary Magdalene possessed with devils, yet Jesus gives her another chance, and she's the first person to see him after he's resurrected from the grave. You cannot walk 10 steps in the scripture without tripping over the mercy of God. I thank God for mercy. I thank God for his mercy tonight. Oh, you can read about mercy in the history. Read about it in the prophets. Read about it in the Psalms. Read about it in the gospel. Read about it in Paul's words. But when John stands at the portal of heaven, it's the voice of mercy you hear. Because the Lord says to all those churches, I know your works, but I stand at the door and I knock and mercy's calling you again. Amen. If you'll just open the door, I hear mercy calling tonight. I hear the mercy. I feel the mercy of God. I feel the love of God in this building right now. You see, after Jesus was captured in the Garden of Gethsemane, he's cast into prison, cruelly treated, amen, threatened and beaten and humiliated. And during this time, his faithful followers are scattering. And no one's having more trouble with this than Simon Peter. Just days before, he had told the Lord, I'm willing to die for you. But now that he's called upon perhaps to do it, the story changes. He stands in the fire, looks people right in the eye and says, I don't know him. I don't know who he is. I'm not one of his followers. Fear began to override his faith. For 3 years he had followed. He witnessed the miracles. He was there at the Mount of Transfiguration. Amen. He saw the feeding of the 5,000. He's the only one in history beside Jesus Christ that we know of that walked on water. And when Jesus asked, who do men say that I am? It's Simon Peter with revelation that says, you're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. Nobody except John was closer to Jesus than Simon Peter. Yet when Jesus is in prison, he walks that lonely road up to Golgotha without Peter's support. And while Jesus is being condemned to death, Peter is outside denying him, cursing him, telling him, I'm not one of his disciples. I'm not there. And though Peter had probably participated in the Passover every year of his life, he missed the real Passover lamb when he stood outside cursing. He denied the Lord, and the scripture said, and Peter went out and wept bitterly. You see, the men in the book of Numbers, amen, when they missed the Passover, it was no fault of their own. They had touched a deceased body and they had to bury it. Amen. For them, God gave a second chance, but Peter's uncleanness is not so innocent. It's not due to no fault of its own. It's due to a willful choice to deny the Lord. These men in Numbers deserve a second chance. Peter did not. But when the angels announced to Jesus, and when the angels announced that Jesus had risen from the dead, the angel told the women, go tell his disciples and go tell Peter. Because heaven calls Peter by name. Mercy meets him. Mercy forgives him. Mercy changes him. Therefore, it's no surprise that the one who had been given a second chance would boldly declare on the day of Pentecost, you've got to repent, be baptized in Jesus' name, and receive the Holy Ghost. Amen. And years later, when he wrote his letter, the first book of Peter, the disciple who had been given a second chance spoke about being redeemed by the blood. And while Paul wrote about it, while the writers of Hebrews talk about it, John spoke about it, Peter, when he writes about it, he says, we are redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Out of all the Old New Testament writers, Peter is the only one to call it precious blood. How precious is the blood to somebody who's been given one more chance? How valuable is the blood to somebody who didn't deserve it, yet his blood covered you? How precious is the blood to someone that spent their life denying God, yet mercy still reaches for them? How precious is the blood when it comes to you again? I don't know how many times you may have walked away and denied him, but mercy's calling tonight. I don't know how distant you feel from God, but mercy's calling tonight. I don't know how many times you failed and feel like I can't get up. Mercy's calling you. It doesn't matter how long you've been away, how far sin has taken you. Mercy's reaching for you again. Mercy's available to you again. Amen. To the one that feels like your failures are your finality, and you said, God's through with me, I can't be saved, I can't be used, I can't be touched. Amen. But you feel something tugging on you right now. It's the mercy of God. It's the God of a second chance saying, I'm not through with you. I've got a plan. I've got a purpose. Amen. My blood is sufficient. You can go ahead and let the tears fall because of the sin that you may have committed. But at the same time, you need to let your eye get a glimpse of new mercy that was made available when the sun came up this morning, because great is your faithfulness. Morning by morning, there are new mercies that I see. I feel mercy calling somebody right now. I know it's Wednesday night Bible study, but I feel the tug of the Holy Ghost in this building right now. Can we just lift our hands? Can we lift our hearts? Can we lift our voices right now and somebody call up on the name of the Lord in this building? Is there somebody in this building tonight that would say, I need his mercy right now? I need the mercy of God to cover me. I need his blood to wash me. I need him to touch me all over again. I need mercy of God, the mercy of the Lord to restore me, to revive me. Yes, I may have fallen. I may have made a mistake, but the mercy of God is here to give me another chance. Amen. Mercy every morning. Mercy will restore me. Mercy's calling my name. Amen. With your hands lifted and your voice raised right now, somebody help me call upon the name of the Lord. Amen. With our voices raised, why don't we stand to our feet right now with this house? Because I feel the mercy of God. I feel the tug of the Spirit of God calling somebody right now. Let's talk to him right now. I'm opening this altar to somebody in this building that says, I just need the mercy of God to cover me all over again. I need your mercy. I need your grace, oh God. I need your forgiveness in my life. I may have made mistakes. I may have fallen, but let mercy cover me right now. Let your blood, oh God, wash away my sin. Come on, the Holy Ghost is moving in this building right now. I feel the tongue of the Spirit. God's not through with you, sir. God's not through with you, ma'am. Amen. God's got his hand on you. You're not here by accident. You're not here by happenstance. Amen. Regardless of where you've been, what you've done, and where sin has taken you, what wrong choices you have made, mercy saying, I love you enough. I'll give you another chance. Mercy's calling you and said, all you got to do is bring it to me. Amen. Lay it at my feet. Amen. The moment you uncover it, the moment you say, here it is, God, forgive me. The moment you uncover it, God will cover it. He will cover it with his blood. He will wash it away. He will give you a new beginning and a new start. Amen. He will give you that new mercy that is available to you right now. Come on, I feel the Holy Ghost calling somebody. I feel the Holy Ghost reaching for somebody right now. Amen. If you're able to, if it's appropriate, if you're able to, I wish you would just step out of your seat around this altar right now, everyone that's able, because I feel the mercy of God. Every one of us, Lord, I need your mercy right now. I need another chance. I may have fallen. Hallelujah, but mercy's calling me right now. Forgive me of mistakes, forgive me of my failures, but God, by your help, by your mercy, by your grace, oh God, I need you to help me right now. Empower me, oh God, fill me with your spirit. Renew me, oh God, let your blood cover me. Let your blood wash me right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It doesn't take long. The moment you lift your hands and say, God, I'm sorry. The moment you lift your voice and say, God, forgive me of my sin and mistake and failures, and you truly mean it. God, I'm not going to do that again. If you'll help me, that's the moment that the blood covers. That's the moment that he forgives. That's the moment that he forgives. Then all you've got to do is begin to praise him. Begin to worship him. Hallelujah. And he will fill you with the Spirit. He will fill you with the Holy Ghost. He will wash you. Come on. Mercy is calling you right now. Let mercy cover you once again.